Hello, hello, everyone. Family, it has been a minute since I have been on here. Let me tell you, life has been a whirlwind. Not that you all care about that, but it has been a whirlwind. And I am a big believer, and this goes hand in hand with what I'm going to talk about today, in chasing joy. So when I feel depleted in a certain area of my life or my business, I let it go. I put it down. I walk away. I chase something else that's bringing me joy in that moment. And then when it's time to circle back around, I come back. And that's where I've been with my podcast. It was bringing me so much joy for so long. And it's not that it necessarily stopped bringing me joy, but I did start to feel where it started to feel a little bit like a chore, like I was chasing for something to talk about. I didn't have anything I necessarily wanted to talk about that I wasn't already sharing in emails or on my website or on my Instagram. And so it feels really great to have something that I want to talk about again. So I'm going to be doing a little series. I don't know how many episodes, but on entrepreneurship. And to be honest, for a long time there, I told myself that I could not talk about entrepreneurship. And the reason I told myself that was, is I was like, well, I have this business on Instagram and it feels really weird to talk about things like, you know, selling or mindset or showing up on Instagram or how to grow a following or whatever it might be, knowing that the very people that I am speaking to could also be people who partake in my business, who partake in purchasing things off my website, or who are a part of my oil community. And I sat there for a long time thinking, this just doesn't feel right. Even though I know dozens and dozens and dozens of people, I was thinking about the other day, I love Jenna Kutcher so much. I listened to her all the time. And then I thought to myself, why am I telling myself this is so weird or this is wrong when I listen to Jenna Kutcher? But I've also bought programs from Jenna Kutcher. So I'm listening to Jenna Kutcher talk about business. I'm listening to how she structures things and how she creates emails and how she thinks about her blog and how she tries to reach and connect to customers. All the while, I am one of her customers. I've purchased some of her courses and I don't feel weird about the fact that she's teaching me about business and also selling products to me because those products are helpful to me, really helpful. Her, I think I did one of her Instagram courses. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. And it was so incredibly helpful to me. And guess what? That's why I still listen to her podcast. And I'm sure at some point along the way, I'll probably buy some other book or program that she comes out with because I love learning from her. So I sat there and I said, you know what, Kelly, if this is bringing you joy, if you love talking about business and it is your passion, why would you not share that with others? Because guess what? There are so many women listening to this who are entrepreneurs or who maybe want to be entrepreneurs or who maybe like listening and learning about business and the way people think. And one day down the road, maybe it'll spark their interest in something. They'll think, you know what? I think I can do this. So I'm going to share. I'm going to share about business on this podcast. I actually went through the other day and reorganized rebranded a little bit my podcast. It changed the bio, the about section, so people knew that this podcast was inclusive of everything that brings me joy. So it is going to have information on oils. It is going to have information on holistic health and low tox. It's going to have information on some political stuff around things like COVID and vaccinations. And it's going to encompass all the things that I am interested in because I am the detox life. I am my brand, right? And so for those of you who have come into this space and who enjoy listening to this podcast, first off, hi, welcome, thank you. And I can't wait to share more. So I'm going to talk about today the concept of chasing joy. And before you go, it's not for me, what I'm going to talk about in terms of business is chasing joy, why it's not only not wrong, but how. I should probably even say, I'm working this out with you guys out loud externally. I'm a free flower, but why you need to give yourself permission to do this and how to build a career you love. So how chasing joy can ultimately build a career that you love. And this can apply in so many things. So if you're a stay-at-home mom and you don't do anything outside of being a stay-at-home mom, please know motherhood is very much so a career in a lot of ways. So you can also chase joy in that. I think this applies to so many arenas. And so I want to talk about it. And I have this envelope, guys. I couldn't even, this is entrepreneur life, couldn't find a notepad. Have two little kids in bed, needed to get my thoughts out, and I found a piece of mail and I wrote my notes on that. That's what I'm going to talk to you guys from. So I have 4 points written down that I think are good launching points to talk about. What does it mean to chase joy? And in this, I'm going to explain to you my career path, because when you look at mine, it is as far away from linear as you could ever possibly get. And I know most entrepreneurs, to be honest, are similar. Like, they never thought that they would end up, or they didn't go to college for this, or they didn't, you know, whatever it might be. They're somewhere totally different. And it's normally because life threw them a curveball they didn't expect, whether it be they had kids, whether it be they moved to a state and job circumstances changed. Maybe they lost a job. Maybe they created something and then all of a sudden they had all their friends asking them for it and they thought, oh, wow, maybe I could sell this. You know, all these different paths that we've chosen to get to a place of business ownership. And listen, to, I think I do want to also include, while I'm an entrepreneur and while I love entrepreneurship and small business and I'm so inspired by it, I also want to say I do think you can also choose joy in a traditional career path. I think there are people who are obsessed with being doctors and who are obsessed with being lawyers and who couldn't imagine not being an accountant, and it just lights them up, right? So I think you can also chase joy in more traditional career paths, or in a business setting where you might not be the boss, you know? And I still think that you can do that. So I think a lot of this applies, and it's just really about allowing yourself to create something that you love and to chase your passions. I think I always thought it was such an immature viewpoint. I always thought, yeah, okay, people say, it's kind of like when people say, when you meet the one, you'll know. And as a younger person, I always thought that was ridiculous. I was like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know? Well, you'll know when you know. And it feels like really useless advice. But the reason people say it is because it's true. Those of us who've been married a long time, when you know, you know. But you don't know until you're at that point in life, right? So before then, it feels kind of like a useless piece of information or advice. And I feel like when people say, chase your passions, it also feels very like lightweight. It feels as though someone is just cheaply throwing out some sort of a catchphrase that they heard. And I found myself in the past thinking like, easy for you to say, or in moments when I didn't know the next step and I didn't know where I was going, feeling like, okay, so how do I just figure out what my passions are? So I want to chat through some of this. So let me get to some of my points. So the first thing is, don't be afraid to pivot. And pivoting is not quitting. I know, at least as an American, as someone who was taught, you know, as a millennial generation, I'm 33 years old, as someone who was taught you must do well in school, you must go to college, and you must pick some sort of traditional career path to be successful. And I had that pounded into my brain pretty much my entire life. I know what it's like to think that quitting is quitting. Quitting is for quitters. You know, I remember I changed my, so I was actually a business major, financial business major, and I had the luck, the distinct privilege to be in school in my junior year in business school, in business college that I had to work very hard to get accepted into from undergrad, and was being told by our professors, because it was, guess what year? 2008, the giant financial crash. Hey guys, you should probably jump ship. We're actually telling our financial students, our students who are in here to become like financial planners, to jump ship. Our professors stood in front of us and said, we actually don't think we'd be doing you a service to tell you to get your degree in this. And if anything, you should at least double in insurance. Insurance is never going to go anywhere, so we think you should at least become an insurance major. And I sat there going, like, struggling in my business classes to make B's and C's. And I was always an A student, so I was like really struggling with a lot of the material and some of the math classes I was taking and accounting and whatnot to just to get through the business school. I was not happy. I was not enjoying the schooling itself. And I remember talking to my brother actually on the phone, just like feeling lost. I remember exactly where I was standing on the phone in this quad in between the bookstore and the library. And the admissions office or the counseling office was to the right of me. And I was talking to my brother and he was just like, well, and I was just telling him I was lost. I was confused. I wasn't doing all my classes. I just didn't know where to go. And he had also changed majors in school. And he was like, well, what if you could do anything? Like, what would you do? Like, if, and I said, honestly, I think I'd be a teacher. And I think he just said something along the lines of like, well, then go do that. So I got off the phone and I was like, I think I had been telling him I was so worried about disappointing my parents. They wanted me to have, I was going to be the star kid who graduated with good grades and had a good solid career. And I was going to make money. And I felt like I was going to let them down. I knew my dad was going to be upset. And I remember calling my mom and she was understanding and just wanted me obviously to be happy. And then my dad was not happy that I was thinking about switching majors. It also meant I knew at a minimum I was going to be in school an extra semester, maybe even a year. So what did I do? I did what any crazy Enneagram 8 did. And I literally got off that phone call, marched into the office, grabbed a piece of paper for educational majors, went into the admissions office, made an appointment, sat there and waited, talked to them about how far behind would I be if I wanted to switch my major to this and what classes would cross over, walked out with a list, called my parents and did it all within like an hour and dropped out of the business school and switched over to education. And I ended up graduating with my secondary education degree in social studies because as a young person, I actually always wanted to be a teacher. And I think I had put it aside because I told myself, well, I need to make money. Teachers don't make money. So I can't pursue that. Long story short, I pivoted. And it wasn't quitting. I told myself it was quitting. I'm a quitter. I'm a failure because I couldn't get through business school. But it was just, I was miserable. So what is the point of getting through business school if you get through it miserable and then you end up in a career that you hate? That's awful, especially for how much money college costs, right? So I pivoted. And when I did that, I ended up in a teaching job that I actually, well, my teacher, I should say my undergrad teaching experiences were great. My first teaching job, I taught in a jail and in a boot camp program because I graduated in December, which is kind of like a death sentence for teachers here in the US because it's the middle of the school year. So I actually had prepped myself for not being able to get a job for like a year and having to do like side work. Well, I was grateful to get a job, so I just took it. And it was an alternative education is what they call it. And really what it is, it's for kids who get kicked out of school for 45 days for things like bringing school knives to school, getting in physical altercations, and they get suspended for 30 to 45 days. So I was in a trailer filled with 7th and 8th graders who had really rough lives and didn't want to be there. And I was supposed to somehow teach them with no supplies. It was awful. I was 22. I cried in the car all the time about it, wanted to quit, but wouldn't let myself quit. And it led me to wanting to be outside of education. So then I hopped over to nonprofit work and I had a social work type position where I ended up working in an organization called Communities and Schools. And I worked for a program where we worked with teen moms and I loved it. There were lots of hard aspects of my job, but I really loved it. So I chased my passion. I was miserable for a year and I knew I had to get out of that teaching position. And I started to go, What did I like? Like, what do I want? I love working with students. I loved teenagers. And that was always the age group I thought I would end up working with. So I still stayed with that and I pivoted. I searched high and low and I looked for a job I thought I might qualify for. And I worked my tail off and fought for that job in interviews and I got it. And I loved that job. 2 years into that job, I got a crazy opportunity that ended up being probably one of the hardest seasons of our lives. After I was married, my husband and I got the opportunity to move to Mexico. We were offered it, and it was one of those chances where we were like, we don't have kids yet. when will we ever get an opportunity like this again, where it's just kind of like, hey, here, come to Mexico, run this coffee shop, you know, try to be Jesus's hands and feet and get some climbing in. And we ran a coffee shop. I had actually worked in a coffee shop and been a climber in college, so it just seemed right. We took the leap, sold everything we owned. My husband was in college. He paused college and we went to Mexico. Why did we pivot? Because we saw this opportunity and we wanted to chase an experience. We wanted to chase joy. Now, it ended up being a really tough 2 years, but we took the chance because, again, pivoting isn't quitting. It's experiencing. It's experimenting. And I'm telling you guys this, even though you might not want to hear my whole life story of my career, because I think it's important to understand. You can do so many things and it doesn't make you a failure. There are a collection of experiences that I believe God designs to get you where he wants you to go. That's my personal belief. I had to go through different things in each of those positions that I collected, and it changed me and it made me into the person that I am today, which is still a work in progress. But I gained so many experiences that just added on to each other, and I took them into the next position and the next position and the next position. I was in Mexico for 2 years. And then when we came back, I had to work some odds and ends jobs. I was a server. I worked kind of for some entrepreneurs doing some side work and nonprofit work for a while. And then I got into a sales job, actually phone sales, guys. If you want to know what the worst job on the planet is, phone sales. It's miserable. I did it for 100 days, almost on the dot. And then I transferred to a recruiting position within that same company. I worked for a company called Red Ventures. So in that recruiting position, I worked there for a little over a year. So I was there for maybe like 18 months total, something like that, at that company. And again, I was miserable. So what did I do? I chased joy and I went into recruiting. And I actually loved a lot of that job because of the people that were around me. But then I quickly learned that it wasn't where I wanted to be ultimately in life. And I had a bit of a little midlife crisis, and I went to counseling and I didn't know what to do. And ultimately, God worked it out that I left that company pregnant with our very first child after years of infertility. And it was an ugly ending because there were some not so great people that worked there, but I left and I continued to chase joy and I took the chance. I worked a couple of nonprofit jobs. God provided in huge ways. And then I came to stay home with my son. But quickly realized that I had that entrepreneurial bug in my spirit. I couldn't not work, like, but I knew I didn't want to leave my kids. So I got creative. And that was when really, truly, even though we had run a business in Mexico for a couple of years and I did have some experience with entrepreneurship, my really true first grassroots effort, creating my own business from start to finish, was I opened up an Instagram and I said, I'm going to sell clothes. I loved thrifting. I was huge into sustainability and secondhand. I loved making my own capsule wardrobes. And I thought, I can do this. I can take photos. I can start an Instagram and I can sell locally. And it grew. And I grew that page to, like, I don't know, 1,100 or 1,200 followers. And it was so fun. And it provided for my family. And I had fun while doing it. While my son napped, I would take photos of myself. When he was awake, I'd take him into Goodwill with me and we'd thrift. And I would, like, follow fashion bloggers and see what was in style. And I would make, you know, $400 or $500 a month, like, for my family. And it was so great while it lasted. And guess what? When that time was over and I felt it in my soul that it was time for me to shift and to pivot, I did. And I started blogging and I started a sustainable blog. So I actually turned that same Instagram page into, I said, hey guys, this is what I'm doing here and this is what I love. And now I'm going to start pursuing it. I started to learn how to take pictures. I wrote a blog. I started to learn how to make a media kit. I grew my Instagram through pods. I made relationships. I started writing for a magazine. And it was great. And one thing led to another. And before I knew it, I had 14,000 followers on the sustainability account. I was writing for a magazine and I was working with companies, earning, you know, real money, sharing things like sustainable products that I loved and used in my home. And I was loving every second of it. And again, it was providing for our family. And along that way, learning about sustainability, it got to a point where it wasn't bringing me joy anymore. It was, things had just shifted for me. And guess what? I had entered into a world where I loved talking about non-toxic living. I learned about toxins and it changed my infertility. It changed how I parented. It changed how I thought about the world and how I saw things in my life. And so I pivoted again. And that's where you meet me in the detox life. I met my good friend, Sarah. Really, she's honestly like my sister if she listens to this. And I started teaching others how to detox their homes and how to use essential oils to make their own products. And I've never looked back. And you might be listening to this and going like, Kelly, do you think you're ever going to pivot again? I don't know. I think I'm going to add on. I think I'm going to for me, this is it. Like, I can't ever see not doing what I'm doing. I'm never going to say never because obviously anything could happen in my life. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going anywhere. So if you're a customer listening, guys, I'm not going anywhere. But with that being said, I'm sure one day there will be things that I add on, like this podcast. So along the way, I thought, you know, I'd really like to do a podcast. So guess what? I started a podcast. Along the way, I was like, you know what? I really want a website. I've even been recently thinking maybe I'm going to add a blog to my website, you know? So I'm just going to keep expanding and doing things that bring me joy along the way. And guess what? None of that is quitting. When I had criticism in my life, I have had criticizers in my life plant seeds of doubt or try to, I don't think maliciously, but to say things like, well, you've done so many things. You've hopped from this and that. You know, when you quote unquote hop around and you do a business for a year, and then you change to another business, there will be people who will look at that and think, she wasn't serious. She didn't care. And I look at it now and I go, I was just chasing joy. I was pivoting. I was going, hey, this brought me joy for a year and I love it. And I made money for my family and I literally hit every checkbox, every checkbox. And I think what happens is the world tells people over and over again that if you shift and if you pivot, and if you change and you're not with something for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years, that you just, or that you hop around and you do one thing for 2 years and then you do something else for 3 years, that all of a sudden it means that you don't really know what you want in life. You don't really know what you're doing. You weren't really passionate about that. Because if you were passionate about that, you wouldn't have quit after 2 years. So we hear all these messages and they just get embedded into our heart and our head and our soul. And the reality is that's really only up to you to decide that, because someone else on the outside might have looked at my little clothing business and gone, and that was just a side hustle. That was just a hobby for her. And I was like, no, do you want to know what that was? It was an outlet for a mom who was overwhelmed with motherhood at times and being home all day with her very active little boy with no care, with no preschool, with no daycare, with not a lot of friends around, who had so much passion and ambition and spirit inside of her that she needed an outlet. And then that outlet turned into a business. Guess what? That business blessed my family financially and it blessed others because I spent time creating a service for them. They didn't have time to thrift all day long and find things, but they did have time to flip through Instagram and buy things from me that I found for them to be more affordable. I brought people joy and that's amazing. And I made money and I loved it. And then when I felt like, you know what, it's time for me to shift, I ended it. Not one piece of that journey was a failure. None of it was negative. And it was all upside for me. So don't let other people define what quitting is. There's this negative connotation. Sometimes quitting is the most powerful thing you can do. Sometimes shifting, sometimes pivoting is the best thing that you can do. And why not end on a high note? Why not go, you know what? This no longer is something that I'm driven with passion, but I loved every second of it while I did it. So let me go ahead and kind of quit while I'm ahead, so to speak. And if I know there's something else that interests me more now, I'm going to go there. And if people love me and support me and care about me, they're going to clap. They're going to say, good for you. But the reason that most people don't is because people are too afraid to do that. Most people are too afraid of what the world thinks of them, what their spouse thinks of them, what their mom or their mother-in-law thinks of them, what their best friend thinks of them, that they aren't willing to chase joy. And it makes me really, really sad. And so you've got to learn to quiet that inner critic, to quiet the outer critics and to go, what's really going to make me happy? And am I willing to do the things that need to happen to make that happen? So that brings me to the second point. It's never too late to chase joy. Another thing that I hear a lot of people talk about or say is, oh, I wish I could do that, but. If I had a nickel for every time I've heard someone say, I wish I could do that, but. And the reality is whatever the fill in the blank is, but I already have three kids, but we have too many bills, but my husband would never support that, but I'm a single mom and I could never do that. But I mean, just the list goes on and on. But I'm not good at Instagram, but I'm camera shy, but I don't even know where to begin. I hear these, I love y'all, but I hear these excuses all day long. And they're excuses that we feed ourselves and we tell ourselves they're legitimate. And listen, some of them might be legitimate. Bills are real. Responsibilities are real. Kids are real. But at the end of the day, if you look at any entrepreneur who's been successful, so many of them have stories of failing, of losing a lot of money, of chasing certain ventures that didn't work out, of taking risks and it paying out big, of going and knocking on 75 publishers' doors, and it wasn't until they got to the 76th that someone said yes, and then their life was changed forever. It is about, if you truly believe that you can accomplish something in your life and you truly want it, you will find a way. It is never too late. You're not too old. It's not too late because you've had kids. It's not too late because you have a partner who you don't think will support you. It's not too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. And if you truly want something, you can pursue it and you can get it. It's about taking those excuses and start coming up with solutions. To give you some examples in my life, when I came home and fully quit the like two or three nonprofit jobs I was doing, it was scary. We knew that we couldn't pay my bills or pay our bills on my husband's salary at the time. But we had always said, we don't want him in daycare. We don't want someone else to raise him. And I'm not saying that as judgment to anyone, but that's just how we felt. We were like, I don't want him gone for 40 hours a week. I want to be home with him. I want to be his mom full time. You know, I want to be there for all the little moments. And my husband agreed, and we didn't know how we were going to do it, but we were going to figure out a way. And I was willing to do whatever. I said, if I have to work nights, if I have to go somewhere and work weekends to earn some extra cash, we'll figure it out. So we agreed. I quit. And guess what? My husband got a $15,000 raise like within a month. And I know that that was God providing for us. That's what I believe. And that's what I know. And you might go, well, that's great for you, but it won't happen for me. Well, here's the thing. That might be true. It might not happen for you, but it happened for me. But I know that Jesus is real and that he loves us. And the Bible says that he provides for those that love him. And so, yes, I do believe that he provided for me because I love and follow Jesus, and he provides those who love him. He provides abundantly and far beyond whatever we could ask, think, or imagine is what the Bible says. And so for me, I'm a praying woman and I prayed that God would provide and he answered that prayer. But guess what? That can look a million different ways. It might look like a raise, or it might look like he provides through you starting a business and then him prospering that business. And if you're listening and you're an atheist or you're not a believer, you might be rolling your eyes. But the reality is, the point I'm trying to make with that is, we took risks. I quit that job and I went home to chase joy with my son, because where there is a will, there is a way. And where there are, you know, desires that you have to take away the excuses. And we were willing, if that raise never came, which we were highly not expecting ever, we would figure it out, that I would do the hard thing of working nights when I had a baby, that I would do the hard thing of working weekends and being away from my husband and barely seeing him so that I could be home with my son during the week. We were willing to do those things. So a lot of entrepreneurship comes with massive, massive sacrifice that people just don't get and will never see unless they're entrepreneurs. I meet people all day long and I can tell you instantly the people who are going to make it and the people who are not. It's a lot of things. I can't just necessarily whittle it down to a couple of things, but most of it is a will. If you've not read a book, Angela Duckworth's book called Grit is a great one to read. It's an interesting thought process around what makes someone gritty. What is grit and what does that mean? And it's this just raw determination to do something, to get something done and to pursue it and to chase it. It's the Michael Jordans of the world who spent 5 hours a day doing three throws? I can't even know. Sorry, guys. If you like basketball, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Three pointers, whatever you want to call them. Just sitting around doing hundreds and hundreds of them. He did thousands and thousands, and that's why he was so good, right? But he did something that most people are not willing to do. Some guys are willing to go practice for 45 minutes, but are they going to stay up for and do 5 hours of those every single day for years and years and years? Probably not, which is why he's Michael Jordan. Other people aren't. So with that, I kind of already broke into my third point, which is where there is a will, there is a way. Drop the excuses and get gritty. And so the thing about it is, and I won't talk about this much longer because I kind of mentioned this already, but the thing about it is that if you study entrepreneurs, if you listen to enough podcasts like this where people tell their stories of taking big risks, like quitting a job that I really couldn't afford to quit, and then taking risks again, like I have taken many risks in business and I have poured, I mean, I could have poured thousands of hours into my work and not have been, quote, successful, right? Like that, those are stories that people have. I could have dumped a bunch of money into a particular venture and it not have worked out, you know? And let me tell y'all, I worked for free for a hot minute before I made any money in the business that I currently have. And I didn't work a little bit, I worked a lot of it. I was building websites. I was writing dozens of ebooks. I was on Instagram posting multiple times a day, doing stories every single day for well over a year. And then before that, running two other Instagram accounts that I built out, and I worked for free for a magazine for a while before I started getting paid. I, you know, spent countless hours photographing during my kids' naps and writing blogs and contacting companies and creating media kits. Like, it was blood, sweat, and tears. And I'm not a millionaire. Okay. It was blood, sweat, and tears just to replace, you know, a small part of our bills. So I need people to understand that it's not glamorous. There's no path to entrepreneurship, no matter how well you've made it, right? People who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or $1 million a year, they've sacrificed a lot. Let me tell you that, a lot. I have friends who have sacrificed a lot to have what they have, but it's because they love what they do. They love helping and serving others. They love creating whatever it might be, and it fills them up, but it doesn't come for free, and it doesn't come without sacrifices. It doesn't come with excuses. It doesn't. People who are successful don't make excuses. They just don't. And at the end of the day, if you want to pursue a business, whatever that might be, whether it's making jewelry, whether it's pottery, whether it's something you've never even really done before, but you just want to do and you think you could do, then for the love of all that is holy, go do that. Go chase that. Guys, life is so precious and so short. And to not pursue joy is, I think, the biggest regret any human could ever have. To stay in a job you hate because you just keep telling yourself you're not capable of doing anything else is one of the saddest and unfortunately most common things that I see people do with their lives day in and day out. And I just personally am not wired that way. I could never do that. But, and I don't say that to ever give the impression that you can't do the same thing. Like, there are janitors who love their job. There are bus drivers who love their job. There are plumbers and electricians and construction workers and people who do rough and tough things who love their jobs. But the reality is there's also tons of people who are in cubicles or working for companies and middle management who hate their jobs and they just don't know any different. We all know people, and maybe you are that person who's doing it and you've told yourself a million reasons why you could never have another job. You're not qualified. You don't have the college degree. You don't have the resume. You could never start a business. You would never be able to. But guess what? you every single day at 5 o'clock when you get out of that miserable job. You can go home and you can work from 6 to midnight. 6 hours, guys, that's a lot of time. Every single day, 6 to 11, 6 to midnight, 6 to 10, 4 hours even, every single day. And if you did that, that's 28 hours a week you could devote to a business. And if you really wanted to do something, you could grow it at night and on the weekends until it gets to the point where it replaces your income and you can quit that job. You know how many people have done that? So many of us have done that. It's not easy. It's super freaking hard. You say no to birthdays. You say no to all the events. You say no to the things you can't afford because you're saving money to put into your business. You say no a lot, but you're saying no for an ultimate yes, for an ultimate yes that is going to bring you joy. The other point I wanted to say is the status quo is the status quo for a reason. And what I was thinking when I wrote that down was, if you look at someone's life and it inspires you, and again, we're all going to be different, but if you're listening to this podcast, I imagine it caught your ear or eyes for a reason. It's because you are intrigued about business. You are intrigued about entrepreneurship. You are intrigued to hear other people talk about business and how they accomplish the things that they do. So something triggered you to listen to this, right? The status quo is the status quo for a reason. And what I mean by that is, if everybody could be an entrepreneur, then more people would, right? If it didn't take extreme sacrifice and determination and grit, more people would do it, right? That goes for a lot of things. And my thought behind the status quo is the status quo for a reason means that most people don't pursue things that are out of the ordinary. Which is why many people are fascinated hearing other people's stories who pursue things out of the ordinary. It's a common human denominator, right? You go on Netflix and you watch The Chef's Table and you look at these people who are so driven in excellence. I mean, I cannot imagine anything harder than being a chef. Like, to be honest, there's so many things out there I could say, but being a chef is real. These people don't sleep. They work crazy hours. They never see their families. And they do it to make food that brings people joy. They're so driven in excellence. These are all like Michelin star restaurants, right? These people have sacrificed everything, sometimes relationships. I mean, a lot of them are single. The ones who are married are like, yeah, I never see my spouse. It's like he's a brain surgeon. I never see him, you know, and have sacrificed massively to create these restaurants and to do these things. And it's huge. And if it was easy, everyone would do it. If every home chef who liked to cook could do that because it was easy, then they would do it. But it's not. It's extreme sacrifice. But the reality is that if you are okay with having a status quo life, and I don't mean that in any sort of condescending or derogatory way, like I said, if punching in and punching out brings you joy, then that's right. That's in alignment for you. If your coworkers and your boss bring you joy and you get filled up working with them, then that is freaking fantastic. You've hit the lottery. That's great. But if you're trying to pursue something out of the ordinary, small business, entrepreneurship, creating a product, creating a service, going out and just being on your own, being a business owner, these are the hard things in life. I should have looked up probably the stats of how many people are small business owners in just the US. That would be an interesting number to know. But this isn't the status quo. It's not the normal. It's very much so the lesser path traveled. And the reason the status quo is the status quo, and again, I don't mean this in a derogatory term, but the world creates a cog. It creates a system, right? We've created a system in America and it's starting to crumble, but for a long time there, the system was get through high school, go to college, come out with a degree, get a good paying job, get married, get a wife or a husband, have kids. And it was just the American dream, right? It was just what people did and what many of us were fed and what a lot of our parents did. But unfortunately, that's the status quo. And that's the status quo, and it still kind of is in many ways. And people are fed from the college machine into this world And for a long time there, it was working for people, right? In terms of like getting careers and getting jobs and whatnot. And it kind of just served the purpose of making money and providing for your home or paying for your bills, right? But the reason it's a status quo is because it's the norm, right? And the norm, no, I don't mean this offensively because I am a product of college and in a typical job, right? I was a teacher. But the norm is the norm because it's the path of least resistance. Not that college is easy. Not that getting into college is easy. It's not. I did all of those things. So I'm not coming from a place of not knowing it. It's not easy. It's not easy to get good SAT scores and to get straight A's and to get into good schools and to graduate from those schools and to pay for those schools. I mean, none of that is easy. But because it became the norm, it really was the expected. And in so many ways, it is the easy thing to do. And then you get spit out, and usually colleges help you, you know, try to get at least interviews and this and that. And you might have internships that also help you get your first job. And then you just kind of start working, and it's kind of just the done thing. When you all of a sudden go, hey, I just really want to create a children's book. I want to illustrate it. I have no idea how to illustrate, but I have a desire to write a kid's book because I just feel like it's inside of me. Going and doing that and figuring out how to go from A to Z and create a children's book and then put it out and then, you know, deal with publishers and deal with illustrators and maybe draw it yourself and maybe learn computer programs and then learn how to do the PR part of it and sell it and all of that, that's massive. That's not a small thing to do. That's not the status quo. That's difficult. It takes grit. It takes passion. It takes determination. It takes fortitude. It takes the ability to be creative, to pivot, to think differently, to go out and figure stuff out. You don't have someone telling you and giving your orders every day. Walking into an office and being given a checklist of here's everything you need to accomplish today is, and again, I don't mean this offensively, but it's the easy thing to do. It is the easy thing to do. You don't have to think about it. Not saying there aren't jobs out there that aren't extremely difficult. My husband works a mainstream job, right? He's in IT. And his job is very stressful and very difficult. He's an amazing problem solver, an amazing people person. So I'm not here to say, but at the end of the day, in so many ways, he is in, you know, a position where it's kind of like, here's the people I manage, here's the tasks I have to do, and here's where my paycheck comes from. And choosing joy for the entrepreneurial mind is just not that black and white. It's not that cut and straightforward. So I know this talk has been, I've tried to keep it in those four points and those realms because I had a lot of thoughts and on my mind and on my heart. And ultimately this could go a million different ways, right? But I mostly wanted to get on here and talk to entrepreneurs or people who are interested in entrepreneurship, people who have the bug inside of them and have been telling themselves excuses, giving themselves excuses as to why it's not them and why it's not for them. I wanted to encourage you and I wanted to ignite a little fire under your feet. And for those who are already in entrepreneurship, I just wanted to have that sisterhood chat. I think of you're probably yesing and amening a lot of this. And I hope this just encourages you and inspires you. I know when I listen to other business people talk and chat about the difficulties and chat about their philosophies in business and their thought processes, I gain so much from it. And I pull little nuggets out, as I like to say, of conversations. And I'll listen to a 30-minute podcast and just go, man, that one line that person said really resonated with me. And it made me want to go do X. I listened to a podcast the other day by Jenna Kutcher. She was interviewing someone and it was just literally one or two sentences that this person said that made me want to come and do this podcast. And it made me feel like I had the permission and I took an excuse off the table. I had been giving myself excuses as to why I could not talk about business on a public platform. I kept telling myself it's not right for me. It's not the right time. I'm not far enough in my business, this and that. And I really had been telling myself, but then I love to with my business friends, with my mates, all my Aussies, I love chatting business. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do. Absolute favorite. So I'm sitting here and going like, this is actually a massive passion in my life. Why am I hiding this? So I say this to say, if one line has resonated with you in this little chat that I'm given, I hope Well, yay. First off, number one, yay. I'm so glad. That's why I got in here to do this. And I have full faith that God is going to use this podcast in someone's life. Every single time I put an Instagram post up, a story up, I make myself vulnerable because I say something that might piss someone off, or I make myself vulnerable and I cry on Instagram, or I write a post that is controversial. I do it for the one person who needs to hear it. And I'm telling you guys, every single time I do that, someone DMs me, someone comments, someone writes me and is like, I needed to hear this today. So if that's you, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you pressed play. I'm so glad you finished to the end when life was busy and was telling you not to. I'm so glad that what I believe is the Holy Spirit is nudging you to go do the thing that you know you need to do and to take those excuses off the table. And I know in full faith that someone is going to listen to this podcast and either write a review, send me a DM on Instagram, shoot me an email, whatever it might be. And they're going to thank me for sharing this. So I hope that you remember that you have the power to totally alter the path of someone's life with one sentence, with one story, with one post, with one blog post, with one podcast episode. You can really impact someone's life. So if this was inspiring to you, I hope that you don't quiet that inner voice telling you to go and do, and instead you go and you pursue.